Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Daniel Liguori, and this afternoon we have the special privilege of having AAA Arizona, Stephanie Moe, and Michelle Donati. Welcome. Welcome. How are you guys today?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you so much. Well, I really appreciate you joining us on this Halloween afternoon. If, Michelle, you want to introduce yourself and what you do with AAA?
Sure. My name is Michelle Donati, and I am AAA's media relations lead or spokesperson, to simplify it a little bit. I've been with AAA for almost 12 years now, and so it all started with a roadside assistance call. I started my career at a Valley public affairs firm, and I had a flat tire a couple of years later, and I kind of viewed that as an omen to leave and join AAA once I saw they had an opening on their public relations team, and been there ever since.
That's awesome. How about you, Stephanie?
Yeah, hi. My name is Stephanie Moe. I am a community impact specialist with AAA. I've been with AAA for almost 9 years. And I started working for Michelle on the public affairs team. And then as our community impact efforts grew, I moved into the community impact specialist role. And I've been here for about 4 years now.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So is it a busy time of year now as we hit into the fall season?
You know, it's always busy. There's never a slow time at AAA. And so in terms of the roadside assistance landscape, we're seeing more and more calls year round. So we're very, very busy during the summer months. And that's because the triple digit temperatures just really wreak havoc on our vehicles. But it's become a year round peak. I mean, there's just no downtime for our roadside drivers. And then on the business side of things with travel and all the other things we do, I mean, those services are just popular for members every day of the year. So we stay pretty busy.
That's awesome. So if, when looking at AAA Arizona, what would you consider the makeup to be? Let's start, Michelle.
Sure. So AAA Arizona was founded in 1927, and we have a proud history of serving 1 million or nearly 1 million Arizona members. We have 11 offices, mostly in the greater Phoenix area, but also a couple outside. So we have two in Tucson and one in Prescott. We also have 11 AAA-owned auto repair facilities, and so these are owned and operated by AAA. We offer services to members, of course, but also non-members as well. And then our service are available online, and you can always give us a call too.
That's wonderful. Absolutely. So with the makeup of Arizona, have you seen the AAA Arizona grow through the years here?
Oh, absolutely. Especially having worked for the company for almost 12 years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've grown quite a bit. And when I started, I think we had just started our second AAA-owned auto repair facility. Mm-hmm. So to see that business grow from two to now 11. I mean, that's just significant growth in that one line of business. So we've seen growth really across the board since I've been along the way. And I'm sure Stephanie's experienced that as well, especially on the community impact side of things.
Yeah, from an employee perspective, I believe when I started, we were just under 400 team members. And now we are approaching 900. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have grown and enjoyed it.
Absolutely. So as far as the growing part of it, what has helped the growth? I mean, anything, one specific thing that has helped it? Or has there been a lot of different things?
You know, we've covered a number of issues over the last 100 years since we've been in business on a national level. In addition to those issues, we've also expanded the services we offer to our members. So we recognize today that roadside assistance just in and of itself is something that people do join and use, and it's such a legendary service, but they also want more than just that. And so in addition to things like our travel services and we've offered discounts, and we've also expanded our automotive offerings. We have a very strong advocacy arm. And so we really offer just a number of different services for our members to take advantage of. And some of those benefits members may not even be aware of. And so I really like, as part of my job, getting to kind of share the good news of AAA and maybe sharing some of the benefits with members or the general public that they may not know that AAA offers.
Right. Absolutely. So as far as getting that word out there, what do you use to, you know, get the word out there for those that maybe aren't as familiar with it?
So we're very active on social media. Yeah. If you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, even Instagram, you can see some of the work that we're doing and some of the benefits we offer. AAA.com is probably your best bet. If you don't know what we offer, you can go there and just spend some time on our website and go through all of the benefits that we have to offer. And then you can also read our magazine. So if you're a member and you get our magazine, it's called VIA. It comes out quarterly. That's a fantastic place to learn about the latest benefits that we're introducing or offering. And, you know, because that's quarterly, we also have an online piece of that magazine as well and a blog. And so you can really get content, new content from us every day of the year there. So if you want to learn or be inspired to travel someplace new or just want to know where the latest places that we're offering a discount to, you can contact us a number of ways or visit us and reach out to us a number of ways and get that information.
Absolutely. How did that magazine come about? I mean, I get it as a subscription. I enjoy reading it. Who was the founder and creator of that? Because it's really awesome.
You know, that's a really good question. It has been around for many, many years. And so AAA, we're a federation. We're made up of about 30 or so different clubs across the country. And so each club is going to have a different magazine. And so oftentimes we get members who transfer, say, from Southern California or from the East Coast. So they're used to getting a different magazine. And so when they come to Arizona, for example, they start getting VIA, you know, they're happy to still be able to get that communication piece, but they're able to see it in kind of a different regional perspective. And so that's one of the really cool things about the publication is that it really does localize the offerings and the information, and it makes it specific to the Arizona audience as opposed to, say, something that's more of a national scope or something that would be based on the East Coast region.
So the magazine keeps focus on Arizona and the Southwest region specifically?
Really, the whole West at large.
And really, so, from Colorado West?
Yeah, so you can go, you know, Washington, Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, Northern California. I mean, really, there is a global emphasis there. So if you want to be inspired to take your next trip across the globe, you'll find it there someplace domestically or regionally. Some of my favorite findings in the magazine are of destinations that might be right down the road from me that I just wasn't aware of that existed.
Well, that is certainly awesome. So when they do articles and writing, is there a lot of, you know, different authors that use different, is there a lot of thought that goes into it probably? I mean, with when they do writing and these stories, because there's a lot of unique ones.
Yeah, you know, we have writers that span our region. And so, you know, it's really important to us to have writers that aren't just solely based in one place, but, you know, folks who have been there, done that, and have the t-shirt to show that, you know, they have that experience or able to offer that insight and that expertise. And I really like that about our publication. I feel like it comes across in our stories, and it makes for a really inspirational piece. So where, you know, I might read something that I never thought about visiting a certain destination, but after I read the piece, I'm convinced I'm ready to go to a AAA office and book a trip to that destination. So I feel like our writers do a really good job of putting their expertise and their experience into the heart of what they write in and what we're able to showcase in our magazine, as well as the AAA VIA blog.
Yeah. And I think with Arizona being such a diverse state, I mean, we have so many, we have, you know, here the Valley, but we also have Northern Arizona and Tucson, so many diverse places. So I think that really opens up a lot of stories. Is that right? From what you've seen?
Yeah. Because, you know, one of the stories that was on the blog recently is we did a feature on Dia de los Muertos. And so we talked about four different West celebrations that were commemorating this tradition this year. So one of those is the event that's actually coming up this weekend in Tucson, the All Souls Procession in Tucson, that was started by Tucson artist Susan Johnson as a tribute to her late father in 1990. And that event has grown to really encompass the entire Tucson and Southern Arizona community. They're expecting over 150,000 people to attend this year. So, you know, from uncovering stories like that to also, you know, talking about the Dia de los Muertos celebration in San Diego, in Old Town, at the State Historic Park there, really able to shed light on not only destinations, but also events and traditions that are taking place that really bring the different cultures and perspectives of Arizona to light on a much more larger scale than just Arizona, but also sharing this information, you know, with readers outside of Arizona as well.
That is certainly wonderful. And then with the such diversity that we have in Arizona. So those that want to, you know, do skiing or winter sports in Flagstaff has that opportunity there, as we have other, you know, we have such a diverse state with different climates. So that offers a lot of different things in the region. Has that been a popular, you know, topic though? I mean, like with snowball and things in Flagstaff in the winter?
Yeah, we always have something seasonal that we're able to offer. And what we do a really good job of is we put things together in a list. So sometimes the focus is just on one destination.
Sure.
But oftentimes it's, you know, three places to go or seven places to go to experience snow or fall or, you know, great events to go to experience this. So, you know, that makes a really great appeal for folks who might want to go, you know, and just really explore one destination. They can read and think about that in that piece. But for myself, you know, I have three little kids. And so, you know, I need to do things that are more accustomed to that lifestyle that I have. So, you know, for us, we pick things that are more day trip focused, events that we can go to and just spend the day out and come home and maintain nap time and meal times and things like that. So I feel like the different variety that we offer in terms of something that might be more destination or regional or just event-based really do fit into the different lifestyles of our members.
That's awesome. So with research projects, I know AAA is doing that. How is that used, the research that AAA uses?
So the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety is our research arm, and it's a publicly supported charitable research, and they really focus on four different priorities. So those are driver behavior and performance, emerging technologies, roadway systems and drivers, and then vulnerable road users. And so just taking the emerging technologies, for example, we recently took a look at advanced driver assistance systems. These are things like lane departure warning, automatic emergency braking. These systems are becoming increasingly common in vehicles today, even base models of vehicles. They offer tremendous safety benefits. But one of the things that we were unsure of is, are drivers aware of the limitations of these systems? Are they using them correctly? And so the foundation took a look at vehicle owners' experiences with and reactions to these systems. And what we uncovered in this research is that drivers do not understand how to safely use most of these automated features. So in addition to providing this information to consumers, we're also able to share it with leaders and automakers so that they could help close that knowledge gap and so that we can see the fruition of these technologies come to our roadways. Because right now, it seems to be there's a lot of confusion and a really large gap there that automakers can help fill when it comes to educating consumers on these technologies.
Now, is that a lot of automakers consuming it when someone buys a vehicle? Like, you know, I go into a car dealership. Is that something that AAA will inform a car dealer salesman of these features?
So what we did with this research in particular is what we found that about half of those we surveyed said they had no recollection of being offered education on these systems when they purchased them. And so we were able to provide that information to automakers and so that they could really take a look at the education they offer consumers and make it a mandatory thing perhaps if they decide to offer it at their dealerships. And so if you are, as a consumer, going in and buying a vehicle with this technology, if you're not offered a demonstration, an in-depth demonstration, you know, the other call to action is AAA wants you to insist that you get that before you leave so that you are fully aware of the technology that your vehicle is equipped with and you understand its limitations as well, because that's a pretty big thing that we found was a miss in this survey. Just taking blind spot monitoring, for example, a good majority, almost 80% of those we surveyed, say they felt so comfortable with the technology, they were no longer performing over-the-shoulder visual checks. They were just relying on the technology. And the trouble with that is that these systems are not designed to detect fast-coming vehicles. They're not designed to detect cyclists or pedestrians. Mm-hmm. And so we know this technology is here to stay. We know that it has tremendous safety benefits, but it has to be used correctly. And a big part of that's the education piece. So in addition to doing the research on it, we also wanted to loop in the automakers so that they had a better idea of maybe what are some areas in their line of the consumer experience that they could help close that knowledge gap and help us, you know, really bring the benefits that this technology offers to fruition.
Absolutely. Now, when it comes to the major automakers like Nissan, Toyota, Honda, most of them pretty familiar. Like, you know, I own a Nissan Sentra, so if I was to go to like my local Nissan deal, they would be familiar with this more than likely.
They should be absolutely familiar with all of the technology and be able to provide you with an in-depth demonstration on the technology. You'll also find all the information in your owner's manual. Most drivers don't crack those open, but if you have a vehicle with technology, you want to make sure that you are completely familiar with it. And if you have any questions, your owner's manual is going to be your best bet. But if you're in the market for a vehicle or you take your vehicle to a dealership for service, you can also ask them questions as well.
So if someone's looking to buy your vehicle and, you know, talking to a car salesman, whether it be at a Nissan, Toyota, Honda, what would probably be the best way to approach the salesperson so that they are explaining this? So for our listening audience that may be not familiar, how to approach, to say, a car salesman in the dealerships?
So, you know, you would just want to make sure that you're asking them to give you an in-depth demonstration that you're able to do not only one test drive, but a couple. You want to know how it feels to engage with these technologies. You know, one of the other things we found in the survey, it was that in the research, was that many drivers confuse the technologies. So they thought that the automatic emergency braking, you know, did something that it actually didn't, or the forward collision warning would actually engage their brakes. And that's not the case. So you want to make sure that you are understanding of what these technologies do and what they don't do. And so this is just one example of a research project that we released just last month. But this is research that really goes on year-round in these different categories. So it's really interesting to see what projects that the foundation takes on and what they're able to uncover. They've done some really amazing work, some groundbreaking work, and it's just, I think, an honor to be able to share it and to advance the topic of transportation and traffic safety through the research that they're doing.
Right. So with the relationship, as I mentioned, with the, like, the car dealerships, I mean, they are more and more of them are finding out and aware of this. So does AAA have, like, you know, conferences or workshops to show people that are in the automotive industry like Nissan, Toyota about what this is all about?
So our foundation is based in Florida. And so they work directly with automakers once we conduct this research and we have it, you know, coming down the pipeline, just so that they're aware of what it is and that they can, you know, start working to address it on their end. And they're always very appreciative of it. We've also done other research that has to do with comparing things like Apple CarPlay and different other in-vehicle infotainment systems. And we are very open to sharing that information with the makers of that technology as well, because we recognize that having the information is one thing, but we really can't enact change unless we're sharing it with the people who are responsible for putting it in our vehicles and helping that technology to really make us all safer out there on the road.
From what you've seen in AAA's research, are cars more safer now than, let's say, 15 years ago from the way they're made?
I think cars have the potential to be a whole lot safer in terms of the way that they're made. So, you know, it's I have one vehicle now. It's a little bit newer. It has the backup camera. And I have a vehicle. It's a little bit older. It doesn't have a backup camera. And I feel so much safer backing up with that backup camera. But I also recognize that that backup camera can't see everything. Yeah. And so, you know, there's also, you know, you can put something behind it and you can take a look in your backup camera and see, like, oh, well, there's something underneath my vehicle, but my camera is not missing it because there's going to be that space that it doesn't cover. So I think that vehicles are a lot safer than they were. They have the potential to be safe. But there's also, you know, a little bit of consumers relying perhaps too much on technology without understanding it fully. And so I think as consumers and drivers, we have an obligation to understand what our vehicles are equipped with, using it responsibly, not solely relying on it, not allowing us to disengage and be distracted while driving, but really making sure that if we use that in conjunction with being an alert and informed driver, then we'll do our part to make the road safer for everyone.
Absolutely. So as far as, you know, when it comes to road safety, what would you say if there are top five things that probably a motorist can do to be the most safest? Just from what you've seen and, you know, I mean, I think I've talked to people about this. Everybody's kind of has their own opinion on it. Just from your perspective, and Stephanie, feel free to come in on this. What's the most, probably the top five things that someone can do to feel safe and, you know, just as a motorist and for those that are on the roads, you know, overall?
Well, I think speed and distracted driving would probably be in that top five for sure. Mm-hmm. you know, speed is something, especially in Arizona, we see so much of, and that's because we have such an ideal climate. I mean, yes, perfect sunny days, almost 365 days a year. And so, you know, people just feel like they can drive a little bit faster than maybe they should, you know, go over those speed limits. And unfortunately, when you speed, your crash risk goes up.
Sure.
You're unable to respond to road hazards. And so by slowing down, we can all be a little bit safer. And then distracted driving, whether it's your phone, whether it's an infotainment system, whether it's, I mean, we've heard things about people like shaving and eating ramen noodles while they're driving. Mm-hmm. So distracted driving in a number, there's just so many things you can do to be distracted behind the wheel. But that would probably be another, and probably, and some of what Stephanie does on the community impact side of things with child passenger safety, that would probably be in the top five too, just car seat safety, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Making sure that your passengers are restrained properly. And I was also going to chime in. You definitely stole my distracted driving one, but driving defensively. So not only being alert, but also being aware of what other drivers are doing around you. Because just because you are, you know, you're being a good driver and you are alert and paying attention doesn't mean that the people around you are. So being defensive, making sure that you're not following too closely, and you know, those defensive driving techniques, always having an out and things like that, and just making sure that you're aware of what's going on around you, in addition to, you know, following the speed limit and not being distracted yourself.
Right. So really those things, it's speed being the biggest cause of a lot of fatalities and things that go on the road. Is that what you've seen?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's one of the biggest factors, and usually it's coupled with other things like speed and distraction, or speed and lack of restraint use. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's usually not just one factor. It's usually a culmination of a couple of those factors. But usually if speed's involved, there's something else involved too.
Now, does the state lawmakers look at, you know, what the speed limit is, and if there's a certain amount of fatalities, maybe lowering the speed limit? How does that normally work from what you've seen? Being 65 at a lot of it, and
right,
sometimes when you're in the rural areas, it's 75, and I've been in other states, it's 55. So is that based on, you know, what traffic fatalities are, you know?
It's a good question, and I don't really know the answer to it. You know, one of the things that the AAA Foundation looked at in terms of roadway systems and drivers, last year we took a look at infrastructure improvements,
sure,
that have the potential to save lives. And so our report recommended 6 cost-effective improvements that have the potential to save almost 64,000 lives and prevent more than 350,000 serious injuries over the next 20 years. So changing speed limits was not on that list. But what was on that list was things like converting key intersections to roundabouts, installing roadside barriers, adding sidewalks and signalized pedestrian crossings on the majority of roads, installing median barriers and on divided highways, installing shoulder and centerline rumble strips, and then paving and widening shoulder. So we wanted to look at what cost-effective measures we could do that would, you know, pose a very significant traffic safety benefit. And so this research was put out last year. A number of state and local municipalities were very interested in these things because, again, they're cost-effective measures. And so I found all of these very interesting, especially because AAA's office used to be on 7th Avenue in Osborne, and we're no longer in that office. But we were in that office, and I witnessed several pedestrians being struck because they were not crossing in a signalized crosswalk. Mm-hmm. And so where our office was, there actually is a signalized crosswalk there now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if it isn't an issue of speed and speed limits, you know, there may be an issue of, you know, if there are so many pedestrians struck or unfortunately killed, then, you know, city officials, municipal officials might look at that and say, we need to do something about this. And so if you and your community have something like that, you know, I would encourage you to take it up with your local municipality and say, there's an issue here. We need to take a look at that. I personally live across from a school, and being that I work for AAA, I thought that cars were just going by way too fast in the school zone that I live in. And so I contacted my municipality, the city of Tempe. They had an officer come out, and for about a week, he sat there and just performed some more structured enforcement around it. And it did help to alleviate the issue. So I was really appreciative that they took my consideration to heart and that they acted on it very quickly. And so if you have a complaint, or if you think there's something happening in your area that's unsafe, or if you see something every day that's unsafe, say something, speak up, because nobody else might be doing it, and you potentially save a life or make
Certainly.
Your community a little bit safer.
So it's just basically more awareness as motorists.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to traffic, I know people here in the Phoenix metropolitan area all deal with a lot of it. Is there probably better ways to be more safe when we are, you know, in those rush hour times in the morning or in the afternoon that you've seen? I've always think about this, you know, driving here or wherever I am, you know. What's your take, you and Stephanie as well?
I think a lot of it goes back to the distraction piece in the morning. We're all trying to get to work or school, and we're usually running a few minutes late, and we're usually trying to, if we're not, you know, if someone isn't on their phone, they could still be distracted just thinking about, when I get to work, I have to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And so just understanding that if you drive defensively, if you're engaged and alert, you're much less likely to be involved in a crash. And again, that engaged and alert piece is important because say that, you know, someone else isn't paying attention, you can then be defensive and avoid a potential collision as opposed to, you know, if you're also a little bit distracted. You might find yourself in the middle of something that's going to keep you away from work a whole lot longer, as opposed to maybe getting there 5 or 10 minutes late. And I think a lot of companies, you know, they understand that they would rather you have arrived safe and be a couple minutes behind, as opposed to getting a call saying, "Hey, I'm not going to be in today because I was involved in a fender bender on the, you know, on the freeway." So by just, you know, what's the rush? If 5 or 10 minutes will prevent that crash or potentially prevent an injury or save a life, it's definitely time well spent.
Would you say, as far as using surface streets instead of using Interstate 10, 17, 51, using surface streets may be safer at, let's say, 4 or 5 o'clock when we're at rush hour? You may hit more traffic lights, but would you say it's more safer if someone was to use, say, McDowell Road going to the west side or the east side or Van Buren Street, one of those roads, rather than being in, you know, when it's in the thick of traffic?
I think the safest way to approach traffic at rush hour is going to be engaged and alert, whether you're on a freeway or a city street. So I commute every day about 20 miles, and I have the Broadway curve every day. I take the freeway for a certain portion, and then I take the streets for a certain portion. It's just what I found that really fits what I think is fastest. It may not even be fastest, but it's what I find is fastest. I think that, you know, with that, you have to just remain engaged and alert no matter how you're driving. I've seen probably just as many crashes on city streets as I've seen on freeways during rush hour time. So I think it's just a matter of staying aware and refraining from distractions behind the wheel, and just being courteous and defensive. And, you know, one of the other things is not being aggressive. Mm-hmm. Don't assume that because someone cuts you off, they have some vendetta against you.
Or, yes, 100%.
You know, I know that there's been times where I'm like, I've got to get my kids somewhere, and you know, please just let me in. I swear, usually I get in the back of the line, but I had to come up a few cars today to try and get, you know, my kid to swim lessons or something like that. So
yeah.
I'm always appreciative, and like, I'm gonna pass you good energy and like wave to you and make sure you know, like, thank you so much, I appreciate you. You know, in those cases. So you know, try not to take it so personally. It's, you know, we all are stressed out driving home. Nobody likes to sit in traffic.
Yeah.
But find something that can help you pass the time. I love podcasts. And so you guys have this podcast that someone could very well tune into. But find some podcasts to keep you entertained along the way and help the time pass. And I really view it as more of a time to decompress after work now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that time when I get home, by the time I get home, I'm like, I'm done. I'm ready to enjoy my evening, as opposed to like choosing to be upset about how bad traffic was.
Right.
Nobody wants to be sitting in traffic.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess if you train your mind differently, it's not as bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Shifting gears a bit, as far as like as an AAA employee, do you have a favorite benefit, either one of you, is what it is as an employee and the benefit that you get from being a AAA employee?
I'll let Stephanie start with that one.
Okay.
Well, mine actually speaks to what I do. My favorite benefit is that we offer our team members paid volunteer time to go out and volunteer in the community. And I think it's a lot of people's favorite benefit from being a AAA employee.
I knew Stephanie was going to say that. I didn't pick that one. And I can't pick just one. Again, as being a spokesperson, and I get to, you know, have this privilege of spreading the good news of AAA and trying to share all of the things that we offer. I have a few. So I'll give you three.
Okay.
One would be our vehicle title and registration services. And so before we came on the show, Dan, you mentioned that you've used these before.
Yes.
And so we offer about 30 different vehicle title and registration services at select AAA offices. And so these are services that you can come in and get that you would otherwise need to go to the DMV to get. And we're the state's only third-party authorized provider that doesn't charge a convenience fee for our members. So not only are we saving members time by coming to AAA for these services, but we're also saving them a little bit of money. And if you use these services once, we know you'll be a repeat customer just because it's so much, it allows the MVD to focus on things that we don't provide. And so it takes some traffic off of their hands, but it also enables us to serve our members. But the services are available to non-members as well. So that would be one. Car buying would be another. So we have car buying professionals at our branch offices. And so you can buy a brand new or a pre-owned vehicle. You can even trade in your current vehicle. We'll get you some competitive bids on your vehicle. So I've bought my last two vehicles this way, and I plan on buying my next two or any other vehicle that I have to buy or help someone buy or kind of guide them along the way. You can do, they'll provide you with a demonstration of technology on vehicles and going back to that. But they'll also make sure that you've gotten your test drive. We offer test drives at all of our offices, and we also have a Phoenix showroom where you can do that. Then my third favorite benefit is VIA Magazine, our quarterly member magazine. It's a great place to read about the latest member benefits and also just to be inspired about traveling, whether it's across the globe or just down the street. You know, I like those celebratory days like National Taco Day. So I can go to the AAA VIA blog and read about like five places to go get the best taco, and bam, there's dinner for the night. Right. So whether it's, you know, plotting out my next global adventure or just something that's to inspire me for dinner that night, it's a great, great place for content and information in terms of finding out where's the latest benefits that we're offering, where you can save. We just put out a VIA Smart Guide in our last issue. And according to our calculations, you can save about $1,200 a year by being a AAA member if you take advantage of a number of, or I think it was just by taking advantage of about 25 different member services and benefits. So I love that they put together things like that because it'll help people realize ways that they can save money that they might not have thought of before.
Yeah. Now, how can a auto repair shop become a AAA approved garage? You know, I know Karen, my partner here, her husband owns a auto shop. So if they wanted to get involved and become a AAA auto approved station, how would they go about doing that? I know there's plenty of them in the Valley and throughout the U.S. Is there a procedure that they would go through to be honored that?
Yeah, so our approved auto repair program is a national program, and so there's an application and a certification process, and so they're looking at things like how many of the staff or personnel there have the top certifications in their different fields. You know, do they serve, you know, a lot of like with the advanced driver assistance systems, you can take your vehicle to most places to have it serviced, but a lot of these systems require calibration, and so the shops need to be able to provide that calibration and proof of calibration once that repair has been made. We require a certain percentage of customer satisfaction. The shops have to agree to binding arbitration. So if there is a dispute, the AAA can help with that dispute and make sure that the member feels like they've been represented. And so it's a program and process that these shops have to go through to get approval. And, you know, we have many across the valley and even more across the country. And so a lot of members like the fact that whether they are in Arizona or they're doing a road trip and they have a breakdown or have an issue, they can rely on that network and know they're going to get trusted and reliable service. So that's something that we've had in place for a very long time, and it's something that a lot of our members really enjoy.
So for our listening audience or for those that do own auto repair shops, such as Karen here, our studio owner, her husband owns an auto shop, how would they go about inquiring about this and maybe getting this process started for those businesses that aren't members but want to become? How do they, would they go about doing that?
Sure. You can visit AAA.com or you can give us a call and we can route you to the right person on our team who does handle that, and they can get you the information you need to get started.
Well, that is certainly wonderful. Now, did the car dealerships also become AAA approved? Are they, because they like Nissan, Toyota, are they also AAA approved, like Avondale, Nissan, Frank Lloyd Wright, Nissan, Camelback, Toyota, those places that also could be AAA approved, or because their dealerships, are they in a different category?
I don't think that we would exclude a business from being, I mean, so anyone can apply. Dealer, yeah. Anyone can apply to be. And then I know in addition to having just like the general repair side of things, we also have approved collision repair. So if you're looking for something that's more specific to a collision versus just standard maintenance, you know, we have shops that fall into that category as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think that as long as a shop meets, you know, the recommended, they follow the process and agree to the terms and meet the standards, then, you know, they could be considered for the program.
So a dealership, if they wanted to, could, like a Nissan, a dealer,
yeah, they
a
could very dealer, well, yeah, they could, you know, very well apply to the program, and as long as they meet the standards. And so if, you know, anyone listening is a part of that, they can visit us online or give us a call, and we can get them routed to the right person who handles
that.
So
they would go through the same process if they're a dealership, the same
so
way?
So we have someone on our team at AAA Arizona at our home office here, and so their job is to kind of manage that program here. And so every AAA, they're going to have someone who handles that program, whether it's here, Southern California or whatnot, and then we're able to provide that. So one example would be Brake Masters in Tucson. So almost our whole network is in our approved program. And so it doesn't matter if you're an independent shop or a chain, the program is really our way of saying it. It's like, you know, if you've ever like, hey, I'm looking for a dentist or I'm looking for a doctor, and the best way to get one is a recommended or a referral. And so that's kind of the premise of the program. You know, a lot of times people are moving here and they don't know anyone. Yeah. They don't really know where to go. And so they know they have AAA, and we can provide them with that advice of here's a few shops to consider in your neighborhood kind of thing.
Yeah, certainly. I think Stephanie may have touched on this a little bit, but how does AAA give back to the community, if you want to talk about that, and especially, you know, with the holidays coming up and how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I do. I have a very fun job. We were founded on the mission, sole mission of helping people. And so we're very committed to giving back to the community, and so are our team members. So we have two signature programs that are open to the whole community. And then we also have our team member giving and volunteering. So our two signature programs, our first is child passenger safety, which Michelle kind of alluded to. 3 out of 4 car seats are installed incorrectly. And we know that when a child is properly restrained, it dramatically decreases their risk of becoming injured or killed in a crash. So we're committed to ensuring that as many children as possible are seated safely and secure in vehicles. So what we do, our child passenger safety program is kind of twofold. We have skills-based service where we engage our team members in helping, and then we also have in-kind donations of car seats. So for the skills-based, a lot of people aren't aware that there's such a thing as a certified car seat technician. So this is somebody who has gone through 32 hours of training and taken a college-level exam to be certified in installing and inspecting car seats. So what we've done is we've invested in having several of our team members become certified car seat technicians. So that's in addition to their regular job duties. We have about 6 of them right now across Arizona, and anyone in the community can make an appointment with these technicians to come in and get their car seats installed or inspected. And our technicians will spend about an hour with these families or caregivers or whomever it is, making sure not only that the seat is fitted to the child and that the seat's in the vehicle properly, but that the parents know how to adjust it as the child grows, that they can take the seat out and put it back in all by themselves without the technician being there. And they really spend a lot of time making sure that the parents or caregivers understand how to use the seat properly. Next is the in-kind donations. So we donate thousands of car seats annually to nonprofit partners who are also committed to child passenger safety. So we'll donate the seats to them, and then they in turn will give them to people in need who need car seats who can't necessarily afford them, and they'll also make sure that they're installed in their vehicles properly.
Wow, that is certainly awesome. So who came up with the idea? Was there anyone that founder of that?
That's a great question. It precedes me.
We've been in the traffic safety space almost as long as we've been in existence. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's child passenger safety or school safety patrol, which Stephanie can also speak to, mm-hmm. it's been a priority for us. I mean, our advocacy days really started when we pushed for dirt roads to become paved roads, mm-hmm. because we recognized paved roads were safer for automobiles. I don't know if you have put in a car seat in your vehicle recently. I have 3 little kids, so I have, and they are tremendously difficult.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm like someone who I like to read and I work for AAA, but after spending an hour with one of our techs when I had to install our seat, one of our seats, I learned so much from them. So it really is something that even if you've read, you know, the manual and you've, you know, done your research online or watched a YouTube video, I mean, these are free appointments you can have with these techs and you will learn so much from them. I also used it because I've used it with, you know, someone who's like, I don't really buy it. You know, you're kind of like the safety nerd. And in my, I have younger nieces and nephews and I've been known as like the, you know, like the fun police or the safety aunt. But, you know, when I've asked other, you know, friends or family members to go to these techs, you know, they really come back with a new perspective. Or if you go to one of our events that we host occasionally that we do like, you know, checks of folks who come throughout the day, just going and seeing a lot of attitudes and opinions change, the light turn on about like, wow, it is safer to have my child rear facing for as long as possible, as opposed to like, well, their legs are scrunched up, they're uncomfortable, I want to turn them around. Mm-hmm. You will learn so much from these folks who are knowledgeable, they're kind. You know, they're not going to shame you if you're doing anything wrong. They're there to help educate you and make our kids a little bit safer, which I think everyone can appreciate.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that people walk away with, a lot of times if they come in just to, we also do community events, car seat checkup events, and they come in with their car seats that they got from a family member. Car seats expired. A lot of people don't even know that car seats expire, but I believe it's 6 years. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know it. They don't know where to find it. So just things like that really make it worth the time. And I know that our technicians will tell you that even though it's not, you know, the job that they were hired to do at AAA, it's oftentimes their favorite part of their job.
That is certainly is wonderful. How about as far as the AAA School Safety Patrol Program, how did that come about? And if you could talk about what that does.
Yeah, the AAA School Safety Patrol is a rather iconic program. It started also in 1920, so it's almost 100 years old. And it actually boasts very famous former patrollers, so former presidents, astronauts, Olympic athletes, and other celebrities were all former school safety patrollers. What it is essentially a safety and leadership program for kids grades 4 to 6. And really, it's children directing children. So they're making sure that their peers are being safe in school zones. So crossing the street, riding their bikes, loading the bus, around carpool areas. They're just making sure that their peers are being safe. So they're not acting as crossing guards, but they're assisting adults. And something that's really unique about our program and which makes it so wonderful is we provide all of the equipment and training to schools for free. So recognizing that that's a big barrier for a school to participate in anything, especially in Arizona, you know, the schools get training manuals, they get, the kids get really cute little caps and sashes and badges and vests, and they take it really seriously and as they should. But we're very proud to provide all of that to the schools for free. So we just started to really roll it out in Arizona in earlier this year, and we've got about 22 schools across the state that are participating. Schools really gain a lot from it. I know a lot of the teachers that we've surveyed who manage the program say that they've used it with some kids that are having like behavioral problems. You know, maybe they can't focus, or maybe they're getting into trouble. Maybe they have bad grades. They invite them to become part of the school safety patrol, and they have a real sense of pride in this program. And they've done a complete 180 and turned it around. So we're very proud of this program. And something else that we've done, recognizing that it is almost 100 years old, wanting to kind of transform it for the next 100 years. And keep it relevant for students in schools today, and also make it more adaptable for schools, because the full school safety patrol program can be kind of a heavy lift. The school has to find a full-time staff person to be the advisor. They have to have meetings after school, and it's a lot to manage. So we wanted to make it a little bit more digestible and accessible for everyone. So earlier this year with the back-to-school season, we kicked off our AAA school safety lesson plan. So this lesson plan is also free, open to anybody to download it at AAA.com/school safety. But it's different modules that encompass the existing school safety patrol's safety and leadership lessons. So, you know, bike safety, walking to school safety, things like that. But it also addresses topics that are relevant to students today, like bullying and things like that. So teachers can download the lesson plan in its entirety if they want to, or they can just teach one module or two modules, whatever makes sense for them. But it's really comprehensive. It has PowerPoint presentations. It has printable materials. When they download it, we'll send them a free kit with like giveaways for their classroom. It's a really great resource. And I hope that a lot of teachers in Arizona take advantage of it.
That is certainly a wonderful thing. How do schools that aren't involved in this, how can they get involved? For those here in Arizona that maybe aren't part of this, what can they do to take the initiative to be part of this?
Absolutely. You can get more information at AAA.com/school safety. There's a form that you can fill out, and one of our community champions that we call them will reach out to the school in their local community to get them set up if they're interested in the full school safety patrol. Or they can just download the lesson plan without having to really talk to anybody. It's right there at school AAA.com/school safety lesson plan and download it.
That is wonderful. I know AAA does a lot of, member giving and volunteering. I know here, conscious capitalism and what we're involved with here at Phoenix Business Radio believes a lot in giving back, to the community and, business being a way of to help those. How does AAA do that, as far as, giving back and volunteering?
Yeah, absolutely. So we invest very heavily in those two signature programs that I talked about from a corporate standpoint, but then we also, empower and encourage our team members to give back in whatever ways that makes sense for them. So we do this, as I mentioned, by offering paid volunteer time for team members. And they can choose to use that. They can take that time out of the workday and go volunteer for really any cause that they're passionate about and do that. And then we also have a generous matching gifts program too. We've made it easy for our team members. We've invested in an online platform to really streamline and make it very simple for people to facilitate all of their giving and find volunteer projects. They can set up and manage payroll deductions to go to charities that they care about, link it to credit or debit cards. It's very open and flexible. And we're very proud to offer that.
That is wonderful. So all AAA employees have that opportunity?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. While we do, we support and encourage that year round. Also, tomorrow starts what we call our Month of Impact, and that's our annual giving and volunteering campaign. So again, we encourage it year round, but the month of November is when we really kind of shine a light on it and rally people around giving and volunteering and get people excited about it. We've got little competitions and some fun incentives where they can win grants for their favorite charities, and that kicks off tomorrow. So really excited about that.
That's wonderful. Any, as far as the rest of the fall, community events coming up that the public can attend, AAA events that are here in Phoenix, maybe other parts of the states here?
The biggest community events, I think, are the car seat checkup events. And unfortunately, I don't have those offhand. I know that we have a lot of them in September when it's Child Passenger Safety Week, but I'm not sure if there's any more coming up. I don't believe there are.
Yeah, I think, the best way to find out what events are coming up will be to keep in touch with AAA.com. And if you like us on Facebook, we promote all of our events that way. So that's a great place to kind of stay in the fold of what's coming up, especially if you have an event coming up. You're going to hear about it on Facebook or by following us on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, so as an employee, I've used the platform Stephanie talked about, and it is fantastic to use. It's such a wonderful benefit. I found an event that I wanted to support last year. It was supporting military spouses who were expecting while their spouses were deployed. And so there was a nonprofit that was hosting like a baby shower for these expectant military families. And so I knew that I wanted to volunteer, but I also knew that some of my team members would probably want to volunteer as well. So I was able to use that platform to share the opportunity with some of my other colleagues. And several of them joined me. And, they said, we want to go back and do that again next year because it was so fun. So I thought it was a really great way to spread the word about that and to not only keep that opportunity just for myself once I found out about it, but to share it with the rest of my team. So I really appreciate that. And everything Stephanie will be doing during this month to make our community impact program even stronger than it is.
That's a wonderful thing. And I'm sure the community really does appreciate this. Is this, and now this is statewide, you're all over the state doing these things, whether it's Phoenix, Flagstaff, Tucson, mm-hmm. Prescott.
Yeah. So actually for car seat, so for Child Passenger Safety Week, which is in September, we actually had several events that took place outside of the Phoenix metro area because oftentimes we have events that are in the Phoenix metro area. And so we wanted to make sure that, our members outside of those areas had access. And so this year we had an event in Payson and we had one in Tucson. And so You will have things in Phoenix, again as well. But we have things throughout the state. So if you're not in the greater Phoenix area, don't fret. We have things that'll cover you there too. And if we're not there and you still need a car seat check, you can reach out to us and we'll find a tech near you to help connect you with them, because that's something that takes place year round. And we've had expectant moms call us on the way to the hospital, yep, like in labor. I need you to install my car seat, because the hospital won't let you leave unless you have your seat installed, but no one there can install it for you. So we will find a way to get you and your child home safely if we need to, whether you're in the greater Phoenix area or if you're someplace in rural Arizona or outside of the metropolitan Phoenix area.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know we're coming on the holiday season. I know this time of the year we normally see fuel prices drop. Can we expect that to happen this year, or would you say it'll be stable? Because I always ask myself that, and I see it's close to $3 a gallon and wondering, can we get back to the two range,
I want that to be the case. Yes. Too. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have a magic eight ball, and the last couple of years of fall gas prices have just been kind of wonky. So we typically see gas prices at their highest point during the summer months, and we typically see them fall off during the fall and into the winter, because we see demands drop, and we see winter gas, and that blend of fuel is that winter blend is cheaper to produce, but there have just been extenuating factors the last couple of years that have kept prices elevated throughout the fall. With that being said, it hasn't really impacted demand much, and so unfortunately we're just been accustomed to paying these higher gas prices really throughout the summer, and they've carried into fall. So it's, like we're paying summer gas prices, but we're almost in November.
Yeah.
So that does hurt a little bit, especially I actually took a road trip to California last month.
Yeah.
And when I stopped to fill up in California, I was like, wait, why are gas prices so high here? And then I was like, I looked at my AAA.com fuel finder app and I said, okay, well, they're that much in Arizona. So yeah, they're going to be a good almost dollar a gallon more.
Now, is that basically the state fuel tax, because there's more fuel tax there, why it's cost higher?
So California pays almost double in taxes what we pay for gas. So that's going to be a big part of it. So if you look at like a heat map of the U.S. when it comes to gas prices, usually it's going to be red hot on the outsides of the country. It's going to get the coolest going into the country. A lot of that has to do with taxes. It also has to do with real estate. It's going to cost more to own and operate a gas station in, say, the Bay Area or in Los Angeles than it would, say, in Oklahoma City. You also have that supply. So the center part of the country is getting its supply from the Gulf. It's coming straight up. You're not going to have those added transportation costs, as opposed to the outlier, the outer states, so like California, New York, and those that northeastern side of the country where gas prices are typically a little more expensive.
So I guess here in Arizona, we're about nation average. I mean, some states higher, some of them lower.
Some higher, some lower. Arizona, we're fairly insulated. So in our fuel landscape has changed quite a bit in over the last, say, 10 years or so. So we used to be much more reliant on California for fuel. And then we had an expansion of our pipeline. So now we get about half from our east pipeline and half from the west. And so if there's an issue with either of those pipelines, we have kind of a backup to help insulate us from significant price spikes. So once we had that expansion of our east pipeline, we've been fairly insulated from significant price spikes, knock on wood, in recent years. And so, you hear about an event happening in a state that causes their prices to spike. And if they're only having fuel come in from one source, they're more susceptible to those things. So we're pretty fortunate in that regard to have those pipelines that deliver fuel. We have our East Pipeline comes straight into Tucson, and it has a parallel line that comes into Phoenix as well. And then our West Pipeline comes in directly from Phoenix. So areas that are outside of that, so say Northern Arizona, they don't have a pipeline that goes directly to Northern Arizona. So you're going to see prices higher there because of that transportation
cost. And the transportation cost, One of the things that I've always thought, as a consumer, you have a lot of different gas choices, oil choices. I know there's top tier fuel. Are all these brands similar to one another, or are they the difference why they cost more if you fill up at a certain station versus another?
So this is a really good question.
Because I've always thought about that, and some people debate me on it, and I'm like, I don't know if there's proof of it.
There's so many opinions on gas, right, on different blends. And so we talked about some of the research that AAA does on the traffic safety side of things with the AAA Foundation. We also do research on automotive topics, specific to things like synthetic oil versus regular oil and top tier fuel versus regular fuel. We've done premium versus unleaded. And what we've found that if your vehicle, first of all, doesn't take premium gas or require premium gas, you don't need to use it. You can save quite a bit of money that way. And then when it comes to different blends, if you are to make an investment in fuel, you do want to look at top tier because it has been proven to be a little bit better for your vehicle, make your vehicle a little more fuel efficient, run a little bit better. And you can talk to most technicians and they're going to probably agree with that and what we've found in that. The great thing about top tier is it isn't limited to one station.
There's several of them.
There are several of them. So, you know, Costco, for example, they offer top tier fuel. And, you know, you can go to top, if you Google top tier fuel and there will be a website that'll come up, it'll tell you all the different branded stations that offer it. So some of them are going to be branded stations that will cost more than, say, another generic station to fill up at. But others will offer it for, you know, a competitive price or be one of the lower prices you'll find it at. If it is a little bit more, a penny or two more a gallon, we say go ahead and get it because we do believe there's some benefits to your vehicle.
So you probably get better gas mileage, likely, and the car just runs better. I guess the same thing with motor oils. There's better motor oil brands. Is that right? Probably too.
Yeah. So we recommend synthetic oil.
Yeah.
And so the way that one of our techs, because I asked them, I'm not an auto expert, but so I asked one of our techs, can you explain to me how this works with synthetic oil versus, you know, regular grade oil? And they said, you know, imagine a cup full of balls that are like there's basketballs and soccer balls and tennis balls and golf balls. And that's kind of regular oil, like different shapes and sizes of the molecules. But if you look at synthetic oil, it's like a glass full of just tennis balls or all golf balls. So it's all the same. And so it's going to help your vehicle run a little bit better and smoother and have those long-term benefits, especially for older vehicles.
Right.
And so when you hear about these claims, you can always come to AAA and we'll if we haven't done research on it, it'll give us an idea to maybe look into something in the future. But it's also something we want you to have a conversation with your auto technician, your trusted technician about. Ask them to explain it to you. I work for AAA and I still ask for things to be explained to me like that, because I want to have an idea of, like, explain this to me, like, you know, because I'm a consumer just like anyone else. And I want to know if I'm making that additional investment in synthetic fuel, I want to make sure that I'm making the right choice for my vehicle and also the right choice for my budget.
Absolutely. So I guess it's just a matter of just being informed and the technicians are aware of the motor oils that are the brands, all the synthetic brands, the ones that are the better.
Yeah. You know, we always see too when gas prices are high, there's these additives that are sold and you can put in your, or there's like when gas prices were $4 a gallon almost 10 years ago, I guess it was, it was like buy this special magnet and put it on your car and save. And, you know, a lot of those things don't work. You know, you're going to spend more money than you would on spending the higher gas price. So you want to make sure that you are an informed consumer. That's one of the reasons why we do this research, not only on the traffic safety side, but the automotive side. So we're looking at things like synthetic oil versus regular, top tier fuel versus regular, premium fuel versus regular fuel. And that's conducted year round. So, you know, we do a lot of work. And you asked earlier when we started about how AAA has grown. We've grown a lot in terms of the research we do. From doing a couple of studies a year to doing these big year-round groundbreaking studies on things that are really helping to make our roads better and safer for all of us to enjoy for years to come.
So really just basic maintenance is, you know, the big thing to getting better gas mileage, maintaining their tires, rotating your tires, oil, those kind of things is going to get the car probably to maximize fuel.
Yes, and having an emergency fund for your vehicle.
Right.
Most consumers cannot afford a $500 repair on their vehicle. And think about, I mean, my older vehicle, I mentioned I have one older and one newer vehicle. If I were to take that older vehicle in today for an oil change, I know there's probably going to be $500 worth of repair because it's an older vehicle and there are certain systems that are going to have to be replaced and addressed. And so you want to make sure that you have an emergency fund or emergency savings account for your vehicle, and so that you're not caught off guard with a repair and having to put something on a credit card or have to, you know, really figure out what your budget's going to, how you're going to absorb that repair cost if you have to have it.
So just really being prepared.
Maintenance is key, but also making sure you're prepared in terms of a budget perspective for any repairs that your vehicle needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're rounding out to the 1 hour time. So it's been a pleasure talking with you both today. How can our listening audience reach you guys on, you know, whether it be, you know, social media, Facebook, Twitter? How can our listeners reach you? Yeah.
So AAA.com is going to be your best bet. Perfect. You can also call us. All of our information in terms of our different locations, our auto repair locations, our branch offices, those are all online. And if you just want to see what we're up to, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, tweet at us, Facebook us. You can also reach out to us on Instagram. You know, we're pretty much everywhere. So feel free to call, click, connect. And thank you for inviting us on. Thanks for being a AAA member.
My pleasure.
We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studios. Some media leans left, some leans right. We lean business. Until next time, I'm Dan Liguori.